Life Christian Centre is a church located in the city of Adelaide. It is made up of people from different backgrounds and walks of life who have been transformed through a relationship with Jesus Christ. For more information, visit us online at www.life-church.com.au.
If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. The Bible says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So we fix our eyes, not on what we can see with our natural eyes, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." And so, Lord, we pray, as we dive into this word, I pray that you would speak to us by the grace of God and by the Spirit of God. As we prepare our hearts to break bread this morning, Lord God, would you speak a word into our spirits, Lord God, we pray. I just pray, forgive me of all my sins, Lord God. Help me to, Father, just honour you today, Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Bind every work of the enemy. Just let there be freedom to speak your word today. And let our hearts be open to hear, above all else, the voice of the Spirit, I pray. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to speak this morning on the subject, the paradox of faith. The paradox of faith. Psalmist David asked a question, "When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do?" As David looked at the world in which he was living in, he saw some things, some challenging things, things that were unfixable, difficult to understand. And he asked a question. He said, what do the righteous do? How do the righteous respond when they are faced with these kind of situations? See, if there's a cyclone, it may destroy the home. If there's a hurricane that comes through a particular place, it may destroy the home, but the foundations are meant to stay intact. The foundations are meant to be so strong that it, you know, the house could be destroyed, but the foundations are going to stay there. The psalmist is asking the question, what do you do when the foundations shake? What do you do when the foundations are destroyed? When the things that aren't meant to move start moving. When the things that aren't meant to break start breaking. When the health that you thought was so good is suddenly gone. When that job that you thought was secure, it's come to an end. The marriage that you thought was rock solid is now on shaky ground. The psalmist is asking a question. In these situations, what do the righteous do? What do the righteous do when the foundations of our life are shaken, are destroyed? He says in verse 2, "For look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart." He says, how do we navigate those seasons in our lives when it looks like evil is winning in the world, in our culture? When it looks like there's more darkness than light, more evil than good, more questions than answers about life and about God. See, if you've lived long enough, you know that in life we have these pendulum swings in life. Swings from order to chaos, from certainty to fear, from having it all together to having it all kind of fall apart around you. From being able to talk to not being able to talk. It happens. and sometimes it happens all of a sudden without warning. And now your life is all upside down. The pendulum swings of life. Question is, how do we navigate those foundation shaking seasons in our lives? How do we navigate those seasons those pendulum swings in our life. And to answer that question, let me ask another question. How did people in the Bible navigate those seasons? How did the people in the Bible navigate those pendulum swings of life? How did Abraham and Moses and Esther and David navigate those seasons in their lives? One of the great examples in the Bible of this shift, this pendulum swing, is in the birth of the early church. We read about it in the book of Acts. At Pentecost, Acts 2, God did some amazing things. Spirit came with power, mighty rushing wind. We sang about it this morning. People were baptized with the Spirit. Peter gets up, he preaches one sermon. 3,000 people come to Christ. Outstanding, extraordinary. We preach 3,000 sermons today, maybe one person comes to Christ. It's just things a little bit different. This is amazing. It was amazing what happened right there at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. The apostles would have thought to themselves, man, if we keep going like this, we're going to change the world in a week. We'll have this all done and wrapped up in 1 week. And then in chapter 4, things began to change. Peter and John were arrested for healing a crippled man. Can you imagine? They were beaten, 39 lashes. For some people, this was like a death sentence to them. It wasn't just a small beating. We kind of heard about that last Sunday. And now they're sitting in a prison thinking, what just happened? What happened to chapter 2? Where did it all go? Acts 5. Bible says the word continued to spread. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. And as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might kind of fall on some of them as he passed by. Verse 16, crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those who tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. It doesn't say some of them were healed. It says all of them were healed. I don't know about you, but that challenges me. It challenges me to believe for miracles. That a song is not just going to be a song, but that we're going to see it in our generation. Can I hear an amen somewhere? Acts 5, crowds are gathering and now things are getting a little bit better. We're back on track. Shadows, you know, Peter's shadow is passing, and it doesn't say that it healed anyone, but there's a strong, well, if people were doing it, then it's a positive thing. People were healed. Back on track again. Just a little hiccup in Acts chapter 4, you know. But then in Acts 7, the pendulum swings again. Stephen is stoned to death. Stephen, a great man of God, Stephen is stoned to death. Persecution in Acts chapter 8. Saul, the apostle, is saved in Acts chapter 9. James, the apostle, is beheaded. And so this pendulum swing goes on right through the book of Acts. In Acts 14, Paul and Barnabas heal a lame man from birth. Crowds thought, wow, these guys are gods. The gods have become like men. Barnabas was Zeus, Paul, Hermes. And they wanted to sacrifice animals to these guys because they said the gods have come down from heaven. And so they began to, you know, they wanted to worship these guys. They wanted to sacrifice animals. And I can imagine Paul and Barnabas, you know, if you read the story, we didn't do the miracles. You know, it's God, extremely humble men. But they would have thought, well, at least things are, you know, heading back in the right direction, you know. But that didn't last. People came from Antioch and stirred the people against Paul and Barnabas. And now the same crowd wants to kill them. I mean, in a split second, you've got these guys who want to worship them, and then some guys quickly come and stir this crowd, and suddenly they want to kill them. Pendulum swings again so quickly. Reality is, if you've lived long enough, you've experienced some of this in your own life. Things were going well. God was good. God's presence was real. Everything was clear. We had a dream. We had a plan. This is what we're going to do, and this is where we're going to go. And then there was a shift in the pendulum swing. And now we're in a challenging place. So in Acts 14, they stoned Paul and dragged him outside of the city, thinking he was dead. This wasn't the odd rock that they threw at him. This is quite a few stones, quite a few rocks. Because, is he dead? Yep, reckon he's dead. They dragged him outside of the city. The Bible goes on to say, Acts 14, but after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. Next day, he and Barnabas, what shall we do? Let's go to Derbe. Preach the gospel in that city and won a large number of disciples. And then they returned to Lystra, Iconium and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. By Acts 19, in the middle of that story is the text that we read last week, thrown into prison, angel, you know, where there's an earthquake and so on, pendulum swing again. By Acts 19, all who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord through Paul and others. Verse 11 of Acts 19, God did some extraordinary miracles through Paul. And the pendulum had swung in a positive direction again. I love the way the text says God did some extraordinary miracles. And many people would be happy with just an ordinary one. Come on, just let me out someone here. Hey, Lord, we're happy with the extraordinary if you want, but hey, just send a few ordinary ones. Quite happy with those as well. What I want us to notice from this pendulum swing in the book of Acts is how the Apostle Paul handled it. How did he handle this swing in his own life? Notice that even when the pendulum swings in the bad, they want to stone him, thinking he's dead, drag him out of the city. Disciples come, verse 20, gets back up again, goes to Derbe, more people are saved, he encourages the believers. Paul is like the Energizer Bunny, you know what I'm saying? He just keeps on going and going and going. He just gets up and keeps preaching. He's not fazed by all of the hardships. He's not fazed by the challenges. He just keeps on going. Paul is like this Superman Christian. He's invincible, always full of faith, which kind of doesn't really help us a lot because it's hard to relate to people like the Apostle Paul. I kind of think, man, this guy's amazing. This guy's faith is extraordinary. This guy's faith is, you know, just amazing. I'm weak. How many ordinary people do we have? A few. So here's a thought. If we could interview the Apostle Paul, if we could like get him on stage, maybe interview him. What if we could ask some real questions about some of those experiences? What if we could actually talk to him about some of this stuff that was happening in the book of Acts? If you could interview him, what kind of questions would you ask him? I think I would ask some questions like, Paul, did you ever get confused? The pendulum swing. Did you ever get confused? How did you deal with James' beheading? How did you deal with that? When someone came along and said, hey, did you hear the news? James is beheaded. How did you respond? Do you ever think back to the stoning of Stephen? Do you ever think back to the stoning of Stephen where you were giving assent to that? Throw the stones. Did you ever lose your balance, Paul? Did you ever want to bail out on this missionary thing? Did you ever get to a place where you said, you know what, can't do it anymore? Did you ever doubt yourself? Did you ever doubt God? P- Paul, when the foundations of your life were shaken, what did you do? How did you handle that? We can't interview the Apostle Paul, but the Bible does give us some insight into what Paul was actually going through. In fact, in the second letter to the Corinthian church, Paul gives us a window into what he was really experiencing, what he was really going through, what was happening in his mind, in his heart, in his spirit, how he really dealt with the pendulum swing in his own life, how he dealt with the paradox of faith. I know God is strong. I know God is real. I know God is the almighty, all-powerful, Asaph. I'm trying to get a different perspective of what was really happening in Paul's life. It's in this letter that Paul speaks about kind of what was really going on inside of him as he was going through the book of Acts. Paul says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. I love this. I love this. He says, I don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. Hey, I want you to be informed. I want to make sure that you know what was going on. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Listen to what the Passion Translation says. Brothers and sisters, you need to know about the severe trials we experienced while we were in Western Turkey. All of the hardships we passed through crushed us beyond our ability to endure. And we were so completely overwhelmed that we were about to give up entirely. Isn't that nice? I love the way Paul speaks openly about the challenges that he faced. He says, listen, guys, I want you to know. I don't want you to think that this was all a bed of roses. I don't want you to think that I'm this invincible guy that just gets up again and again and again. I want you to know exactly what was going on in my heart, in my spirit, in my life during that particular season. I don't want you to get the illusion that this was easy. I want you to know. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, he says, we were hard-pressed, not crushed, perplexed, not in despair, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down. Chapter 7, he says, for when we came into Macedonia, we had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. This is the Apostle Paul writing this text. It's him writing this. This is Mr., being up to the third heaven. I heard the voice of God. This is the Apostle Paul writing, who says, we were harassed at every turn. Conflicts on the earth. Fears within. And notice kind of some of the stuff he's saying. Under so much pressure, beyond our ability to, we despaired of life itself. Another way to translate it is he was depressed. He despaired of life. He got to a point where he would rather give up on life, where he would rather have his life end than continue going. Anybody ever been there? We were perplexed, couldn't work it out. What was going on? I don't understand. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. Anybody ever had fears within? I don't know about you, but that encourages me. Because I feel like that sometimes. Because that list, I've go through those lists. One of the things that over the last few months, I spoke to Barry Chant because he went through a very similar thing with his voice. He had to take a few months off. I said, the thought that goes through my mind is that I'll never preach again. And then what? And he said, yep, just hang in there. You'll get through. I go through some of those things too, especially when the pendulum of life is swinging, especially when the foundations of my life are being shaken. Paul would say that one of the things we need to do, talk about it. Be real about what you're going through. You know, some people think that that's not faith. Some people think that if you talk about what you're really going through, Pastor Joe, that's not faith. We're people of faith. No, I think that's a denial is what I think that is. And as I read the scriptures, I don't see that people of faith denied the reality of what they were going through. But in the midst of the hardships, they always confessed their faith in God. I read the psalmist David, who never denied the reality of what he was going through. He spoke openly about the challenges he was facing. But in the midst of that, he always said, but my hope is in God, and he's going to get me through in the name of Jesus. What we learn from the Apostle Paul is not to be afraid to talk about some of the challenges that we are facing. It's okay to talk about it. Paul says, I don't want you to be uninformed, brothers. I don't want you to think that I'm this superhuman Christian. I want you to know what I was experiencing as I was going through that. Second thing we learn from Paul is he asked for help. He says, on him we have set our hope that we will continue to that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Isn't that beautiful? My hope is that he's going to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. How powerful is that? Challenge the church to pray for him. Paul says, I'm going through a hard season. I know that God is going to get me through this, but what I need for you is to pray for me. 8 times in the writings of Paul, he says to the church, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. Paul encouraged the church to pray for him because he knew his limitations. He knew his limitations. And he knew the power of a praying church. Come on, church, can I hear an amen? He knew the power of a praying church. Paul says in 2 Corinthians verse 7, when we came into Macedonia, we had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. But God, everybody say, but God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Wasn't a Bible verse that comforted Paul this time. Wasn't an angel that comforted him this time. It was a friend called Titus. Isn't that beautiful? It tells us the power of the church. This is a human Paul. This is a human Paul. This is a human Paul, a Paul that bleeds like we bleed. And he says to the church, I need you to pray for me. And he says, I was encouraged. Paul, how were you encouraged? The coming of a friend. He needed to know that he was not alone. Church, if we're going to get through those tough seasons in our life, if we're going to get through the pendulum swings of life, we need the church of Jesus Christ. We need one another. We need to pray for each other. That's why being connected to the local church is so powerful and so important. It's why being grounded in a local church is so important. The body of Christ, the power of one another is so important. It's why life groups are so important, because it's a place where we can receive prayer and support and encouragement so that when the foundations of our lives are being shaken, feels like we're drowning. Feels like nothing makes sense. We're tempted to throw in the towel. What we need is the church to help us through. What we need is an Aaron and a Hur who are going to help us hold our hands up high. Because we're just tired. We're tired. We're tired. I don't have any more faith to believe. I don't need another sermon. I don't need another pep talk. I don't need more cliches. I don't want any of that. Just need someone to come alongside and just help me hold up my hands because I'm tired. I'm exhausted. Bible says two are better than one because if either of them falls down, one can help the other up. pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. That's the church of Jesus Christ. You develop relationships in the good times. You do the hard work of developing relationships in the good times, so that when you're in the hard time, there's someone there to help you through. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Pastor Joe, I don't need anyone. I'm strong. Get it my way. I'll do it my way. People that need others, they're just weak. God bless you. Hope you can talk. Try not talking for a couple of weeks. See how that goes for you. Paul asked for help in those tough times, and so should we. One final thing we learn from Paul is that he saw more. He saw more. One of the overriding themes of Paul's life is that he persevered even when things were bad. Paul admitted the reality of his situation. He asked for prayer and he was encouraged by Titus. But there's another important lesson we learn from him. That when Paul looked at the hardships, he didn't deny the reality of the hardships. He didn't deny what was really going on in his life. He just saw more. He admitted the reality, but he never allowed the pain to define his destiny, to define his future. He says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs the more." He calls them light and momentary. He says these are doing a deeper work in our lives. He saw them from a different perspective. And he says, so we fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So we fix our eyes. So we fix our eyes. So we fix our vision. And what cannot be seen. When people of faith are shaken, they don't deny their pain. They see the problem. They just see more. They just see more. They see with natural eyes, but they also see with spiritual eyes. They don't deny the reality of what they're going through. They see it. They can explain it. They just see more. I'm not going to lie. It's been tough these few months. I'm not going to lie. Not talking is, you should try it. I mean, some couples do that, you know, when they're going through a bit of a tough challenge. It's their go-to strategy, the silent treatment. I mean, really do the silent treatment. I mean, not talking. It's amazing what happens to your spirit when you can't converse with the people around you. Everyone's talking. You can't talk. It's like someone putting you in a dungeon somewhere and just staying there on your own. You're surrounded by people, but I can't. It's amazing. And then something inside of you starts to die. So it's been tough. But in the midst of all of this, there's this conviction inside of me that says, I don't know, God is up to something. Don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. You know, I don't know what's going on here. The sun's going on. There's got to be more to this than just, I said to Pastor Barry Chart, I said, Barry, I don't know if this is an attack of the devil. I don't know if this is God doing something. He's beautiful. He said to me, well, maybe God just wants you to rest your voice. You know? Thank you, Barry. Thank you for that. And maybe that's all it is. Maybe my voice needs to be rested. Maybe my brain needs to be rested. It's a great example of this in the life of Moses. Hebrews says about Moses, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Moses left Egypt because he saw him who could not be seen with physical eyes. He knew Pharaoh was strong. He knew Pharaoh was powerful. He knew that Pharaoh had the capacity to come after him. But he saw all of that, but he saw more. He saw him who was invisible. When Moses sent the spies to the promised land, the Bible says 10 of the spies came back. They're giant, we're little. Joshua and Caleb saw the same giants. They saw them. They didn't deny the reality of the giants. They just saw more. They just saw more. Nehemiah devoted himself to the rebuilding of the of the walls of Jerusalem. Everything was going fine until the midpoint, the people began to get tired. Strength of the laborers giving out, and there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. First, everyone was in, yeah, let's rebuild. Yeah, let's do this. Oh, beautiful. Yeah. Halfway through, so much rubble. And the rubble was all they saw. And they were losing hope. If we persevere beyond the trials, we need to see more than the rubble. People who push through, they see the rubble, but they see more. There are things in life that are true, but there are some things in our life that are truer. It's true we are sinners. It's true we have sinned. But this is what is truer than that. In Christ, we are forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, it's true. This is happening. It's true. It's true. Doesn't make any sense to me. It's true. True can't work this out. But I know that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. I know that no one can counsel God. Who could counsel God? Who can give God advice? What is the rubble that convinces us that we cannot rebuild? It's in those moments we have to pray, Lord, open my eyes so that I can see more. Sometimes the opening of our eyes is a choice. Sometimes it's an act of grace where we pray, Lord, open my eyes that I may see you. You know the story of Elijah, surrounded by enemies. The servant is stressed. Look at these. We're surrounded. We're going to die. Elijah says to his servant, don't be afraid, because those who are with us are more than those that were with them. And then he says, Lord, open his eyes. Psalmist asked the question, when the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? And the pendulum of life begins to swing from certainty to fear, good to evil, darkness to light. What do the righteous do? When the foundations are shaken, destroyed of our life, what do you do? We learn so much from Paul. Talked about his challenges. He asked for prayer. He was encouraged by the church. And he saw more. He saw more. Some might be some of you. You're in one of these pendulum swings. It's in the challenging side right now. Maybe the foundations of your life are being shaken. If that's you, I pray you would be encouraged by the Apostle Paul, who did not allow himself to be defined by what was happening around him. He was used by God. One final source of encouragement for us is Jesus. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, it looked like it was the end. Evil had triumphed. No hope, no future. The disciples went back to their old life. On the outside, it looked like the devil had won. But what could not be seen with human eyes was that something powerful was happening. That the price was being paid for our redemption. Price was being paid so that our relationship with God could be restored, so that we could experience healing, life, and life in abundance. There may be some of you going through a dark season in your life right now. As we break bread, can I encourage you to look to Jesus? Hebrews 12 says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the protector of the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set, fixing our eyes on Jesus, not fixing our eyes on what is seen, but fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Because Jesus was victorious, we can be victorious. We can all experience. And Acts chapter 19, when the whole province of Asia had heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, because Paul persevered through the pendulum swings. Hang in there. Hang in there. We will experience the blessing of God. We're going to sing a song. And I'm going to ask the team to come. And let's all stand together and ask the team to come and just to distribute the emblems, and then we're going to break bread together.